Our scripture reading for today is from Genesis chapter 46, verses 1 through 4, and this can be found on page 36 of your pew Bibles. So Israel set out with all that was his, and when he reached Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in a vision at night and said, "Jacob, Jacob." "Here I am," he replied. "I am God, the God of your father," he said. "Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again. And Joseph's own hand will close your eyes." This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. Thank you for the word of God. I pray as your instrument this morning that you would use me in a way that sheds the full spotlight on Jesus. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I can remember being back senior year in college, Toccoa Falls Bible College, and I was about 3 or 4 years into, no, about 4 years into my walk with Christ. And I remember those times in my life, I would really journal. I was filling up spiral notebooks with prayers or, you know, whatever I was learning from the Bible or memory verses, whatever it was, I would just burn through these journals like it was nothing. And then I remember I got to my senior year and it just sort of felt different. It was, there wasn't that enthusiasm and it was a little bit more difficult. It seemed like work. There was a joy that wasn't there, and I remember being very confused over that. I would write that in the journals, and I would look back and say, you know, what happened to the person that was writing these things before? Paralleling that, I was taking a one-credit course by a professor that his name was John Tell Murphy. What a great, deep Southern name. And he told us for the class to read a book called Devotional Classics. Perhaps you've seen this before. And the book is just basically a variety of different authors. It takes the best of and sort of summarizes them for the reader. And I wasn't excited for the class. It was just a one-credit class. And I was just going through the motions because, hey, graduation was, you know, a few months away. And I got to a chapter called The Dark Night of the Soul by John of the Cross. And that chapter literally changed my entire perspective on what it means to be a Christian. So we're going to circle back in a moment and discuss that a little bit more, but it fits in great with the sermon this morning. We pick up the sermon where the focus is off of Joseph and his brothers, and it's solely on his father, Jacob. And you see that in the beginning of the chapter, God calls out to Jacob. God speaks to Israel in the visions of the night and says, "Jacob, Jacob." And he said, "Here I am." Think about those names for a second. I mean, he says, the Bible says he speaks to Israel and then he calls him Jacob. And he calls him Jacob twice to get his attention. But in that one verse, there are two names used. And if you remember reading Genesis, that he had two names. And throughout our journey together, you see these names are being used back and forth. And I think that's there for a reason. It's almost reflecting his two natures. You have sort of the old cheat. You have the swindler, the one that sends out people ahead of him to try to bribe people. And then you have the new man. You have the one where God was working lovingly and patiently. And you see that reflected in the two natures of his name. You have Jacob and you have Israel. And I think the same can be said for you and I. For the genuine Christian, the one that follows after Jesus, we will struggle. You and I will struggle. I find it fascinating that those who come to me usually with inner conflict, with spiritual conflict, their first thought is, "Well, I can't be a Christian because I'm struggling with fill in the blank." And after some time spent in the scripture, they usually leave reassured that the very reason they are struggling is because they are a Christian. You see, the Spirit of God's job, one of his literal job descriptions, is to bother you. Of course, that's the Pastor Anthony version, but the Bible says that he will convict you of your sin. So on this journey, your Christian faith, if you're not bothered, then I am alarmed. If there's no conflict in your life, spiritually, then I become alarmed. But when you come to me saying, I am struggling with this, that's only evidence that God's Spirit is working in your life. Listen to what Paul says in the 5th chapter of Galatians. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. You see, Paul, in these short verses, he's basically painting a picture for us. It's like two wrestlers interlocked. He says there's the Spirit and then there's the flesh. And he says they wage war with each other. That's written to a Christian. There's the struggle in all of us as we strive to be more Christ-like in our life. And that is exactly what happened in the life of Jacob, and it should be what's happening in our lives. So you and I should be able to look back over our lives and see different things, different times where God was convicting us of sin in our lives, and we've sort of conquered those things, but we're always on to the next thing, and it's just the way it goes. I remember reading a book, I can't remember the name of it, but it was fascinating. He talked about when he first became a Christian. He said Jesus was like the sun. He just was so bright and showed me everything that was wrong in my life. And then he said, as I walked with him a little bit more, he became like a flashlight, sort of a little more specific, showing me different things. And then he said, I've been walking with Jesus so long that I'm sort of like in a dim room, and he's a match. And he's showing me the dust particles on the dresser that I had no idea was there. And I thought, how fascinating, because that's my story too. And I think it could be your story too. So walking with the Lord oftentimes means, your struggles will increase. Because as you walk with him, you become more Christ-like. He is showing you the things that need to change, that you need to conform into his image. And so, names mean a lot. And in Jacob and Israel, we see this struggle. And in our own lives, we see this struggle. But there's more. There's a certain theme going on here. After he calls him, he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again. And Joseph will close your eyes. There's this fascinating theme. If we want to connect the dots, we can go back to God's call with Abraham back in Genesis. Listen, as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. And then the Lord said to Abraham, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and they will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on that nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out and be a great possession. Same theme. And then years later, to Isaac, may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. May he give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham, so that you may take possession of the land where you now live as an alien, the land God gave to Abraham. And now in Genesis 46, repeated the basic same gist, the same message, and perhaps you're missing it, but it's this. You will go, you will leave behind. I will be with you, you and your family will suffer, but then will become great. That's the drumbeat. And friends, I don't think it's any different for us. I really don't. I think that is the same message that we have as Christians. God calls us, and when He calls us, it's not into a life of comfort. I know we've heard that on television from the evangelists, but that's not the case when you read your Bible. See, the person on television should spend more time reading their Bible than just preaching these beautiful messages that fill their churches. But the message of Christ is, you will come to me, you will leave behind, you will suffer, but you will also be exalted. And it's all of those things that happen in our lives. And it's important for us to understand that when we're called to follow Christ, that's the pathway He has for us. Now, certainly there are different degrees to those things, obviously, but it's all part of the package. And then finally, in verses 2, the Bible says that God speaks to Jacob at a certain time, and this was at night. Now, I don't want to make too much of this, but I think there's something fascinating here, in that there was an extended time of despair. You see, there was a lot of time that passed from the first time God spoke to Jacob and this time. And that's the meantime, isn't it? It's funny, the meantime. It's where you are made to walk after the Lord, or it's a time when you fall away from the Lord. You see, there are mountains and there are valleys, and the meantime is the valley. Those high moments that get us all excited, we keep looking for those. But I think most of our Christian life is meant to be in the valley. It's your leisure that defines you as a person. And so you could either give up or move forward. Think about Jacob. He could have either given up along all those years, or he could have moved forward. He received bad news with his son. Years later, there's a famine, and then he has to give up his youngest son, Benjamin. He had a series of bad things happening. He could have given up from the first time God spoke to him to this time, but he didn't. And God chooses to speak to him, to nudge him at night when he was alone. And he's speaking to him. It reminds me of a story of Charles de Gaulle. Some of you are history buffs. I am not, so I'm going to make sure I stick to the story to get everything accurate. Charles de Gaulle was the general in France during the Second World War. And he did a fantastic job. But apparently, after winning the war and getting France to a nation where they needed to be, he was rejected by his people. I didn't know this. Probably you do. And then years later, when trouble started again, the French started asking for this general back. And he came back, and he essentially saved the nation. And he was the first president for 10 years, and he is still known as Francis Le General to this day. Now, why do I share that story? Because like Jacob, he had a high point in the beginning, and he had a high point in the end. But what I want to know is what the meantime looked for that man. As he was rejected by his people after essentially saving them, what did it look like for that man? Friends, that is the meantime. Those are the times that will make you or break you. So why does God allow this? We have to ask ourselves, is it because you're doing something wrong? Is it because I'm doing something wrong? And the answer is no. This is the Christian life. To understand what it is to walk after Christ is to understand that there are peaks and valleys, but most of our time will be in the valley, not on the peak. And so I would encourage you to walk with them, even in the meantime. Franklin Roosevelt said this, "When you reach the end of your rope, tie a knot and keep going." I remember watching the great movie Shawshank Redemption. At the end, when the guy climbed up and he was going to hang himself, you remember? And there etched on the wood, it said, you can either get busy living or get busy dying. And he went out and he lived his life. Friends, that's the meantime. That's our meantime. So I want to encourage you during this cold, bitter January, when many of us are walking through the meantime, when all the excitement seems to be falling away, to continue to put one foot in front of the next and walk after the Lord. Now, I started off talking about The Dark Night of the Soul. It's by a man, John of the Cross. Some call him St. John of the Cross. And I told you that as I was journaling, I noticed a vast difference between the early stages and the later stages. And when I got to page 33, I read these words and I found out the reason why. He says, at a certain point in the spiritual journey, God will draw a person from the beginning stage to a more advanced stage. At this stage, the person will begin to engage in religious exercises and grow deeper in the spiritual life. Such souls will likely experience what is called the dark night of the soul. The dark night is when those persons lose all the pleasure that they once experienced in their devotional life. This happens because God wants to purify them and move them on to greater heights. After a soul has been converted to God, the soul is nurtured and caressed by the Spirit. Like a loving mother, God cares for and comforts the infant soul by feeding it spiritual milk. Such souls will find great delight in this stage. They will begin praying with great urgency and perseverance. They will engage in all kinds of religious activities because of the joy they experience. But there will come a time when God will bid them to grow deeper. He will remove the previous consolation from the soul in order to teach it virtue and prevent it from developing vice. It seems as if God has retired from your lives at times. It seems as if God is delaying and answering your prayers at times. At times, the Bible seems like work and it seems dry. The whole thing seems like drudgery. What happened to the joy of my salvation, you ask? God is calling you to greater heights. That's what. So just keep going. Amen. Amen.